These are the Qayshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Qayshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
It's time for another Qayshi Tapes. I'm John Hewlett.
Hi, I'm Favaz.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan.
And me, Qayshi Guy.
Today is John Mellencamp.
Okay,
but
so
we were going to do somebody else.
We were. We were going to do Brian May of Queen, and we alluded to that fact. But we also said we may not, depending on how it sounded.
Yeah.
And I'm queened out. I really am. And that interview had to do with, you know, basically the Queen musical. And I don't even know what year it was.
It was 04, I thought it was.
So whatever. But then, you know, John Mellencamp announces that he's marrying Meg Ryan, and it'll be his fourth marriage. And it was announced last week. And John has a interview with John Mellencamp, and as do I, too. And we're going to do yours today, and it's our first time on Reel to Reel. How exciting.
Yeah, this is old technology from the old studios of Qayshi back at Union Station, and the phone feed was not real strong that day, but we'll do some things here, tweak things, and I think you'll hear John just fine. Now, the reason John was calling that day was to promote Rough Harvest, which came out in 1999, which was the album after the John Mellencamp album that was real successful for him. When was your interview with John?
You know,
Mellencamp?
Mine was around the same time because it was in the Annex building, okay? And it was one of the few interviews that I've had where I remember you asked me before the McCartney interview, were there any stipulations, any rules or anything like that? With him, there was. You could not talk about his heart attacks or his smoking.
Oh, really?
That's what I was told. And I didn't. And I was kind of intimidated before I did the interview. He was great.
Yeah.
Oh, he was awesome.
He's always been like that. The first time he ever came to St. Louis, I interviewed him at Qayshi in the Crestwood Studios.
Really?
Yeah. And I got some photos of the time he came that day. And I don't believe I have the interview, but who knows what I'll find in the basement as I continue to listen to all these different tapes, many of them unmarked. But I remember him telling me specifically that day when I was interviewing him that he was going to be a big star.
Ah.
Yeah, don't worry about that. And he was right on the money.
He whoever was in his original Johnny Cougar band, the guitar player, was from St. Louis because he brought that up with me. And he remembered playing stages. And we had some really funny moments on the phone. We were on the phone. And
well,
it was a great thing.
In this interview, he mentions playing Mississippi Nights.
Ah.
And there's a connection between what happened that night and something in his personal life that you're going to want to listen for here as this podcast goes across.
All right, are you ready to hit
it? I was surprised when he told me about it.
All right, here we go, reel to reel. Hope it works.
Okay, setting up the interview right now.
Test.
What's that?
Sound like you.
Those are your keys. John?
Yes.
Yes, you're on with John Mellencamp.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, John.
John, is that really you?
Yeah, it's really me.
I don't believe it, man.
Yes, it's me.
Welcome to Qayshi 95.
Didn't sound like it to me at first. Did it to you?
I don't know. It doesn't. You sound weird.
Oh,
you know,
thanks
so,
a lot.
Well, you do. It doesn't sound like that. Like that interview that we had with Shelley Grafman from 1988 or 89. This sounds. Yeah. I don't know.
Again.
Can't wait to hear it.
Welcome. I have a room there.
You could have one if you'd like. No doubt about it. We love you here, man. Now, I know this probably means not much to the listener out there, but I'm going to tell you, the first time you did an interview at Qayshi 95 in 1976, I'm pretty sure that was the date because that was my first year here, I interviewed you, and here it is, 1999, and we're still both doing this on Qayshi.
Can you believe that? Isn't that astonishing?
You know what? I know why I've been able to last, and that's because, you know, we've had the same format for all these years and only had two different owners, but you're in a much more volatile and dangerous business than I am in, and you're still here. How in the heck do you keep doing it and putting out great music like that last album, John Mellencamp?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that I've never really worried too much about trends or fashion, and even in 1976, I was never considered fashionable or trendy. And
you know what? I know that because I have a picture of you and I standing together, and we're both wearing some grubby clothes, man.
Well, we were grubby guys. We were kids. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, I mean, I don't know how if I would have walked in and been like, I don't know, looking like the flock of seagulls, I don't know if we'd be having it.
Remember the flock of seagulls?
Absolutely remember them.
Many people won't, but they were a kind of a new wave band in the 80s. And the one guy, I guess, was the lead singer. I don't remember his name now. Had this ridiculous kind of flip hairdo.
Do you remember the name of the song that they had, their big song?
I Ran. Yeah. Actually, that's a pretty
really good song. Yeah, it's a good
song. I haven't played that on the KSHE Classic Show in a long time.
There you go. I should play that.
See,
the KSHE tapes has spawned an idea for you.
All flock of seagulls, I Ran. Not the country I ran, just I Ran.
No. Yeah.
All right, back to the interview with John Mellencamp.
You know, if you jump on something that's very in the moment, then you know, I think that has a lot to do with your career. You stay in that moment of time.
But at the same time, you've not been afraid to change, and your music today sounds, I mean, there are certainly similar things that run through your music, but I mean, you've added things and made some changes along the way.
Well, you have to be able to reinvent yourself periodically, musically, or people think a lot of people already think, well, we know what John Mellencamp does because they hear, you know, Jack and Diane and Pink Houses on the radio all the time, and that's quite a bit different than, you know, what the John Mellencamp record sounds like and what that's about. So, you know, for me, all I can do is just keep going, and my wife said it to me a couple of years ago. She said, John,
which wife? which wife was
it? Yeah, by 99. How many was that?
I think his wife back then, I don't know if it was the model Elaine Irwin, and maybe she was on the cover of that particular record, that John Mellencamp record. And she was really cute.
Just keep going.
Now, this John Mellencamp album, I know we're going to talk about Rough Harvest here in a moment, but this John Mellencamp album was your first for Columbia Records. How's that association working out?
Great. It was just a natural thing for me to go over to Columbia when I left Mercury because I just knew everybody over there. You know, I knew the guy that ran the place and a lot of the people that worked for him. So, yeah, it's worked out good.
Well, that's good. Now, this Rough Harvest release, songs in the acoustic format, why have you decided to do that at this point in your career?
Well, it was a thing that just happened anyway.
Probably was getting sick of the band, just decided to do it himself.
That whole thing about switching labels made me think of, if you remember back in the day, on all of his records, it was always produced by Don Geeman or whatever, and Little Bastard.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know who Little Bastard was?
Him.
Him.
Yeah. Because he's a mean little bastard when he's in the studio.
He sure is.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, the first time I interviewed him, he was not near as nice as he was in this.
He sounds super cool right here.
Yeah. But I guess back then he was, you know, struggling for everything.
And he wanted to be in control.
Wanted to be in control. Yeah. And didn't like his name Johnny Cougar at that time either.
Right. Really?
Yeah. I remember him showing disdain for that the first time I met him, and sure enough, a number of years later, he got that name changed. He didn't like it.
Right.
You know, we just never recorded it. You know, in between takes of other records, a musician would start playing one of the other older songs, and everybody just kind of chime in with him, and we'd play it for a little bit, and then we'd go on to what we were supposed to be doing. And it just made sense to, like, you know, hey, let's record the conversation in between what we're supposed to be doing, and that's pretty much how that record was made.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no pressure on the record. It was my last record for Mercury Records, and so, you know, it was just a record made not to really compete with the Backstreet Boys or anything like that. It's just a very small, quiet little record for people who have been fans of mine, and perhaps they would get a kick out of it.
We're speaking with John Mellencamp. John, you've done Wild Night, the Van Morrison song. There's Under the Boardwalk on this Rough Harvest album, and I think there's a live song from a live edition. Spit it out, John. A live version of Wildlife. How do you choose what cover songs you're going to do? You've done a few over the years.
Well, I like doing them. You know, I like doing material, but you have to be very careful of doing somebody else's material because I think that if you don't improve on it in some fashion, then you're really asking for trouble. You know, there's just some songs you can't cover. You know, you can't cover, really cover a Beatles song, or you can't cover, oh, you know, a song that was so absolutely perfect because you can't improve on it. But
yeah, that's
he's totally right about
absolutely.
That. You know what came to my mind was Stairway to Heaven. You can't cover that, too.
No.
You cover some other Led Zeppelin tunes, but are some are just in reverence. You know?
I think you can cover them, but don't expect much out of them. Yeah. You know, but then again, you got Knocking on Heaven's Door, but that's an iconic Bob Dylan song, and I think it's a perfect song. And I thought Guns N' Roses did a halfway decent job.
They did, and it was a big hit for them too.
Yeah, and Live and Let Die. I mean, I would have considered that one too, and then they pulled that one off too.
Yeah,
but he's right in a lot of cases there, but. I think you can cover them, but like I said, don't expect them to be a hit or anything.
Right.
You just do it for your own satisfaction, I guess.
Yeah.
If I were an artist, that's what I'd do.
I would love to continue to play other people's music. I mean, it's just kind of fun. I mean, I've never written a song, so I don't know what it's like to sing and record your own stuff, but to cover somebody else's stuff that you've loved for your whole life or whatever, I mean, that would be fun.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Especially this day and age now. You don't have the same record company pressures, especially if you're a guy like John Mellencamp.
Right.
You can do whatever you
want.
Well,
he didn't give a shit anyway.
No. Did you just say shit?
Yes, I did. Come on.
It's
a podcast.
Very few songs that were recorded. You know, it'd be silly to cover Stairway to Heaven.
You didn't hear this before.
So much ingrained in anything other than the original might sound stupid. But now that I say that, I think probably you could. Because I think there are ways to improve that song.
Stop that.
I haven't heard this interview.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know, but I have not heard this interview since, about 1999. I only heard a little bit of it when I found this tape. I thought, oh, this is good enough to play. I didn't listen to the whole thing. And you never heard it.
I've never heard this before.
And we just read the dude's mind.
So he backed me up, and then he backed you up.
And make it new and interesting. Oh, it's like, changing your clothes. I think that as long as you keep the original integrity of someone else's song and bring something of yourself to it, then perhaps you can make the song your own.
Of all your albums, which one is still your favorite? Or maybe it's the most recent?
I don't know,
Scarecrow was awesome. I think it still really stands out there, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's a good record. I think that's probably a lot of people's favorite record. But, everybody goes through their time. You know, if you think about Dylan, he had his time. And the Rolling Stones had their time. You know, when you think of the Rolling Stones, you think of Sticky Fingers. You think of Exile on Main Street. And I think that really is not indicative of their best work, but it certainly is the time period when their star shone the brightest. And I think that that's the way it should be, and I'm very grateful to have made Scarecrow and Lonesome Jubilee. But for me, the more you do it, I think the better a person would get, particularly if the person is challenging himself.
Mm-hmm.
I look back on the Scarecrow album and I see
that's my favorite.
Me too. Rain on the Scarecrow, Small Town, Minutes to Memories.
Great song right there.
Lonely Old Night, Justice and Independence.
Another one.
Rumble Seat,
mm-hmm.
Rockin' in the USA. Amazing.
That's when, if I remember correctly, that was the record where he headlined the arena for the first time. And I saw John Mellencamp on that tour. I was like in the first five rows. And he was just something else back then, man. It was great.
And his drummer, I loved his
Kenny
drummer.
Kenny Aronoff.
Nobody hits the skins harder than that dude, man.
He would go on to play, with everybody after, including The Circle with Sammy Hagar for a little while.
So. He follows me on Twitter.
Does he really?
Kenny Aronoff.
Why the hell would he follow
you
on Twitter?
I don't know. It's stupid, isn't it? and Ricky Lee Jones.
I follow you too, so.
Yeah, you're stupid too. Ricky Lee Jones sings background on that. Remember Ricky Lee Jones?
Yeah, absolutely.
This was her big hit. This boy's in love. This guy. This girl's in love. Can't remember. It was a Casey classic actually for a little while.
Remember, it doesn't have to be good to be a Casey classic.
Hey,
continue.
Speaking of that, obviously you'll put together another studio album here in the not too distant future. Now I don't know if you heard this, but the artist known as Prince is putting out a new album. Produced by Prince. Now I'm asking you, John Mellencamp, will John Cougar produce your next album?
I don't know. Maybe I should get the artist formerly known to do it. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. That must be pretty entertaining for that guy to do that stuff.
Yeah.
I think probably more than anything, he's just entertaining himself.
Farm Aid is coming up September the 12th.
Right.
You'll be involved in that again.
Yeah.
The plight of the farmer, it's not gotten much better. I mean, it did for a while, I guess, but they're suffering again, now possibly worse than ever.
I think this is where we get into corn, price of corn, and
great.
Barrels and gilts, whatever.
Great to hear this part. All right.
All right, price of hogs.
Well, you know, the small American farmer is America's political football. Whenever anything happens overseas and you want to make a point to another country, well, you threaten grain, you threaten corn, you know, you threaten all these things, and of course, there's a guy sitting in, you know.
We're kind of living that right now.
Nothing's changed.
Politically,
nothing's changed.
Isn't it amazing? And you think now, oh, my gosh, what are they doing? Well, that stuff's been going on for a long time.
Right, it has.
St. Louis and thinking, well, you know, wait a minute here. My little victory garden is going to suffer because of this.
Yeah.
And he's got nothing to say or do about it. So, you know, farmers are really the political football for America and our embargoes overseas. So I don't really know of another business that is thrown into that. I mean, you know, they don't call up China and say, hey, listen, if you guys don't quit being cruel to people, we're going to cut off your music supply.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of an unusual situation for a person to be in.
And John's always been pretty political in his life, personal life. And his music is deep. I mean, there's R.O.C.K. in the USA. He does have his fun songs, too. But he's always been a deep thinker, and his songs a lot of times have great messages.
Like Pink Houses is a deep song.
Yeah.
If you think of it, and the video that was made for it, too.
Yeah.
Totally.
He's a smart guy. Yeah, interesting man, for sure.
Yeah.
And getting married to
Meg Ryan.
They've been together for a long time, but but apparently
his fourth wife.
Fourth wife, yeah.
Unreal.
Well, you stay committed to that that cause, John.
Well, we started in 1985, and I don't really see any point in time when Farm Aid will just go, okay, well, this is over, because I think that it's an ongoing problem.
And still going on today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they still do Farm Aids,
yeah.
I believe, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he's still involved.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
Neil Young.
Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of the fact that Farm Aid was one of the things that from that time period, you know, it was very popular in the 80s to have all these aid things.
And, right.
I think Farm Aid is really the only one that proved that it was a for real charity that was trying to help people on a daily basis. And
that's a great point.
Yeah.
Everybody else and their aid things, their aid shows have gone away.
Except that one.
Yeah.
And it's still Neil Young and it's still Willie Nelson. Although we'll see about Neil. Neil just lost his house in the Malibu fires.
Yeah.
In Madero, Hannah. So, and, you know, but regardless, yeah, he's right.
But he said that in 1999, and it's even more powerful today.
Right.
Because it's still going. It's amazing.
Some corporate sensationalism for the moment.
Great point. We're speaking with John Mellencamp. John, we'll let you go here in just a bit. But I want to ask you, what did you think of the VH1 behind the scenes piece they did on you?
Well, you know, I think that that's a... I had never allowed anybody to come into my life that way, it was different for me to watch. You know, it's hard for me to.
Nothing's changed.
Was that on his end?
No, I think
that was on your end.
Yeah.
What was that? It couldn't have been a cell phone.
It was. I think it was just the
business line,
business line, or studio line, or something.
You know, he's talking about VH1. The guy that owned VH1 or was the boss was really, really good friends with John Mellencamp, and that's why he allowed VH1 to. Are you talking about Behind the Music here or something that they did for him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's probably going to say that.
Right.
Just
we'll see. We'll see.
No, but I was saying nothing's changed because my phone still rings when I'm on the air.
Yeah, I just had to tell John, hey, put your phone on vibe because I just put mine.
It rings even more often.
and take it very seriously, but. Apparently, a lot of people enjoyed it because I've got a lot of comments on it, and I think that it was very good for VH1. I mean, you know, there's a TV network that 10 years ago nobody even looked at, and apparently now its ratings are almost bigger than MTV. So I think it was ultimately a good thing.
Although VH1 is pretty much gone too now. I mean, they don't do any music videos, do they?
I don't think so. You know what? I haven't watched in a long time, but you know, there was VH1 Classic, which was really cool. that came out. I don't know, man. I don't seek out music television anymore.
Yeah, no,
I just don't.
Me either.
Now, John, the last time you were here in St. Louis, you sold a lot of tickets. Many of those, I don't know how many, I think just about all the reserved seats, were purchased by your fan club. These people are rabid John Mellencamp fans, as they should be. You do such quality work. You're coming back now. Was that to give the rest of us a chance to see you up close?
Well, I don't know. You know, we're playing this new building, and they called us up and asked us to do it, and I thought at the time that, you mean we don't have to play in that damn Checker Dome anymore?
No, they blew that up, by the way.
Well, I got to tell you something. You know, that Checker...
And they had just blown it up, because this
was
1989.
Right,
yeah.
Was the weirdest place I ever played. I have vivid memories of sitting backstage in the Checker Dome in the late 70s, going to the guys that work for me. Can we get this this elephant shit out of here before, before we put my clothes and stuff in there?
The bones.
Because I played there one night right after there was a circus in there. Oh, man. It made a big impression on me, I'll tell you.
It was the ultimate multi-purpose building.
No doubt
about that.
And it was an old place back then.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll tell you another place that's great. Do you guys still have Kiel? Is Kiel Auditorium still there?
Kiel Auditorium was taken down and is now called the Kiel Center, and they do concerts in there now, too, yes.
But is it the same theater?
No. Totally different. Now, there's Kiel Opera House, but that's closed, and that's still standing, though. The other is not standing anymore.
See, I've played every place in St. Louis.
Yeah. Fox Theater?
Yeah. And I used to play at a bar down there on the river.
The barn on the river. Oh.
Okay, here it comes.
Here, Mississippi
here
Nights.
Comes
here we
story
come.
That will forever tie John Mellencamp to St. Louis, on top of the animal crap in the Checker Dome. This is even better.
Mississippi Nights, you mean?
I think that was it.
Yeah, yeah, they're still there. They're
yeah,
still there.
See, originally when I first got my first record deal, I had two guys from St. Louis in my band.
See?
And who were they?
A guy named Robert Frank, who still lives in St. Louis, and he now has a car painting.
Sorry,
you and that damn phone! I swear, this is an important Robert Frank. He's talking about his Johnny Cougar band. This is what he talked about this with me too.
Yeah,
and he's going to say who else?
Thing that he does, and a guy named Tom Knowles. I don't know.
Tom Knowles.
But that was back in the mid-70s, like 75.
Yeah, so you have very fond memories of St. Louis.
Yeah, I like St. Louis. Although I've had some things happen to me.
Like what?
Like my second wife divorced me there.
Here in St. Louis?
I got in trouble in St. Louis.
Oh.
And that's where she called me up and said, okay, don't come home. Oh, great.
so that's one negative. Are there more?
As many times as I've been to St. Louis, one negative is not bad.
No, you're right. Well, we're proud to have you coming back here on again, like you said, the new building, Family Arena, it's called in St.
Oh, doggone it, I wish I would have probed further.
So he was playing Family Arena. I've got a really good story after this, kind of, that goes along with this.
Okay.
They told me.
Charles County, which is just across the Missouri River from St. Louis County. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at all MetroTix locations. And again, this is the first rock show in the building, so there's a little extra pressure on you, Mr. Mellencamp.
Oh, I don't see it that way. I think it's just a little bit more fun that way.
He's like,
well, that's
fuck
good.
You,
well,
Jeff.
Again, thank you for taking the time to give us a call here at KC95. We love having you on, and good luck to you.
All right, well, listen, I'll talk to you in the next 20 years.
Okay, John.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's see if there's anything else.
Thank you, John.
Backward masking.
All right. So he was talking about how he got in trouble. So his second wife told him not to come home.
Yeah, because if something had happened there at Mississippi Nights.
In St. Louis.
In St. Louis.
He told me that, and we were talking about stages, okay, that used to be on the east side, and he played there. And do you remember an acoustic guitar that he had and had a big eagle drawn on it?
I don't.
Okay. So he had one. It was a very famous guitar. I remember it. And we were talking about it. And he said that guitar, that eagle was drawn by some unknown girl in some hotel room. And I said, was that before or after? And he goes, before or after what? And he just started laughing. I was like, sex. And he just absolutely lost it. Yeah. And, you know, he was living the life back then. And
but he's always had model wives and beautiful wives.
I know, Elaine Irwin. That's the one. I can't believe I remember her name. She was even on the cover of one of his records. I think it was the John Mellencamp record, maybe. Yeah, and now wife number four is coming up. He's a little bastard.
He is, but wow, what a nice man too. Yeah. Just a great conversationalist. I mean, he's got so many things to talk about that I wish we could got him into it even more. But you say you got an interview with him too, so
we'll
maybe
do it
in
down
the future,
road somewhere. Yeah, yeah.
You want to do them back to back? Maybe we should.
I don't know. Nah, that's not
too much.
Nah. All right. No, we're going to do Zach Wilde, remember?
Oh, yeah, Zach Wilde. Oh,
where he threatens to kill me.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody loves this interview.
You got to download the podcast for next week for sure to hear how Favaz nearly escaped.
I did. And, you
know, bodily harm.
And we're doing it Thanksgiving, you know, the day after Thanksgiving. So it kind of, it's a day of thanks for me anyway that I'm still alive.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Why not harken back to danger? Well, thanks to John Mellencamp. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan and
Favaz at Casey Guy. And should I start? I was listening to us because I listen to these podcasts. Should I start saying AMF here for me?
That's up to you, dude.
Okay. I want to do it, and then you can talk after. I don't care. All right. Ready?
Okay.
AMF. You're not going to say anything, are you?
Trying to think of something.
What do you say on the classic show? When you sign off.
I don't have a sign off.
You don't have a sign off?
Never did.
You play
don't
that,
have a sign
you
on play, or a sign off.
Well, you play that thing, though. Oh, don't go, wise man. Or whatever it is. Maybe you should say AMF. You could start here. You could do it on the podcast. Come on.
Yeah, that's your thing, man.
No,
I don't want to take your thing.
Well, no. I do it on the air. Let's do it on the podcast. Let's try it out this time.
You say it the way you would say it if you weren't abbreviating it, and I'll say it the way I would say it if I weren't abbreviating it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
3, 2, 1. Adios, my friend.
The Casey Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of Casey, go to Casey95.com or the Casey mobile app.